Okay, let's bring the joint meeting of the Moravian Cayuga Sanitary District Wastewater Treatment Plant meeting to order. The date is December 14th. And would you like to do the roll call?
Councilmember Grantham? Councilmember Winholtz?
Here.
Councilmember Demerit?
Absent.
Councilmember Pierce?
Absent.
Mayor Peters?
Present.
Board Member Raimondo?
Present.
Board Member Phones?
Here.
Board Member McHale? Absent. Board Member Lyon? Absent. And President Enns?
Here.
Okay, and we will have public comment now. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Nobody? Did you just come to watch, John, or did you want to talk?
Against my 3 minutes.
Are
we going to have no comment to, or no opportunity to comment?
This is the public comment time, yes.
Well, in other words, we don't know what's going to be talked about and we can't comment on that.
Well, it's in the agenda if you got a copy of that, but
well,
yeah, that's it.
You can have a copy of the agenda, but we get no copies of the reports.
Okay.
Then I'll spend my 3 minutes right now.
Okay.
If you're going to be talking about tertiary treatment, mm-hmm. I think it's crazy. We have no impending ecological disaster here. The information I have is in the last 20 years, there have been maybe two occasions when the water out in the neighborhood of our discharge doesn't meet swimming water quality. We're only obligated under federal law provide secondary treatment standards. We have today, City of Los Angeles, discharging in 3 minutes. They need money. It's foolhardy to spend anything to go any farther than secondary treatment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, John. Anyone else? Okay, we'll close the public comment period. Consent calendar. Anyone want to pull anything? Betty, did you have something you want to pull?
I just wanted to make a comment about Mr. Lemons, yes. if I could just interject.
Sure.
If the board wanted to, we could open it up to comment after the presentation.
I think that what we decided, in fact, I think it's on the agenda tonight, we decided that if it was something that we were going to take action on, that, yeah, we would open it to public comment.
But we can't take action tonight because...
Right.
But if we want to just hear feedback, if...
We could do that. We always have that option.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you pulling anything on consent?
I need to just pull the minutes to correct my spelling of my name on A1.
Okay.
And then I have a question on A2.
Okay, where in A1...
It's just a couple of times, and I think it's on page 2 and page 4. It's not a big to-do. Towards the top, the first motion, it's like,
oh, okay.
Once it was spelled wrong, but I think technically I just have to have that corrected. And on the second paragraph in page 4.
So, and then you said you had a question as well?
Not on the minutes.
Okay. And I wanted to pull A3 and A4, so... I guess let's vote separately on the minutes. Any questions or comments on the minutes over here? Okay. You want to have a motion approving and then with
move
corrections?
Move A1 with corrections.
Ricky, you have the second.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Second.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay.
Okay. Cayuga, same motion.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion's unanimous.
Okay, on A3, I wanted to pull that because a couple of times we've had problems with our phone connection. Bruce, what is the status of that now? Has it been repaired or is it still a problem?
The phone company's looking into, the phone line that's in question is the phone line that actually runs down Atascadero Road. And the engineer's been out and looked at it, and it's in, phones will just get scratchy or one of our phones will die. And we have work orders to test the alarm system, so we try and stay on top of it. But we'll keep the squeaky wheel going, okay, and we'll get it done.
All right. Any other questions over here on A3? Okay, I move approval of A3.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Cayucas?
Okay, Cayucas. The motion would be in order for approval of consent calendar item A3.
Aye, so moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Mayor Peterson.
Okay, and then A4, I pulled this one because, well, a couple of things. Number one, this letter, and I looked at the date on it because I was surprised, from the NRDC, dated November 1st, 2006, refers to our, on page 123, refers to our 9.5-year upgrade schedule, and it seems to me that they were the ones that pushed us into agreeing to an 8-year schedule, and they're still claiming that we're at 9.5. Did they not hear what we said?
My guess would be that they know that we adopted an 8-year schedule, but they used 9.5 in their letters to probably to give the appearance that we're stuck at 9.5. I think they're going to try and make us look as bad as they can in their correspondence to EPA and Regional Board.
Well, next time we have any correspondence, could we just remind them that we already shortened that? Okay, and also just a question, I did ask Bruce this earlier. Does the delay here with this whole situation, is that going to affect our timeline? Or are we moving along anyway?
The adopted schedule that the board and the district adopted, the 8-year schedule, is independent of the permit renewal process. We don't have a signed agreement with Regional Board and EPA. And we may, when they decide to renew the permit, depending on the outcome of that decision. But at this point, we're kind of on a separate track.
Okay.
And we're pushing forward to try and get it done in the 8-year schedule that you adopted.
So this isn't going to delay that?
No.
Okay. All right. I would move approval of A4 then, unless you have other questions.
Just one question.
Okay, go ahead.
And I think Mr. Schultz spoke to me, privately, the two of us, about this meeting. Did it happen, trying to do the mediation between NRDC, and nothing came of that, Bruce?
As far as I know, we haven't been able to get everybody together, and it's been more in the attorney's hands than through my office.
Okay.
Okay, I move approval of A4.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Cayucas, the motion would be in order for approval of consent calendar item A4.
I so move.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to.
Madam Mayor, I did pull A2 as well.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was where my
I'm
question
sorry.
Was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, Mr. Keough, on page 2, I asked for that running comparison from Corolla about how they had done the last paragraph on page 2. Will that be in tonight's report, or is that a separate?
I believe they answered. They brought that information back at the last meeting.
I didn't remember hearing it.
Oh, I have that information. I've seen the comparisons, and I would be glad to forward that information
great.
To you.
Thank you.
All right, so we didn't approve A2 then?
No.
Okay. Would you like to make a motion?
Move approval of A2.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None.
Cayucas, same motion? It's your turn to make. All right. Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Mayor Peters.
Okay. I'm going to go backwards a minute. I forgot. We do have a new council member that you gentlemen are not familiar with yet. Rick Grantham was recently elected to the council, and he is now on our board.
Rick, welcome. Don't forget to read the JPA. We also have a new board member. I won't say new because I think most of you know Shirley Lyon, and we welcome her to our board. And look, she's having her company Christmas party this evening and can't be here, but she will be here for our next meeting.
Yeah, there's a lot of that stuff going on. That's why we're short, too. All right, moving on to B2, which is the award of a contract for preparation of a draft revenue program with Corolla Engineers. Bruce?
You mean B1?
I'm sorry. I lost it. Sorry. Well, I'm just trying to get
actually, B1 is a... There, it's just on the agenda.
Oh, it's
the presentation by Carollo on the tertiary treatment options. B1. And we have Tracy Clinton here from Carollo tonight to talk about the tertiary treatment alternatives that they've developed. And I just remind everybody that this is really... This is more of an informational item to kind of give you a background on... what Carollo thinks are the best alternatives for tertiary treatment at the plant. The next meeting that's scheduled will be in January, and they will come back with secondary treatment.
Oh, turn the mic on. You want to hear what I have to say?
Pull it towards you.
At the last meeting, I asked that there be some sort of a cheat sheet that would tell us what all these letters meant. We go through reading it. We're not familiar with the terms. We run into about four letters together, and we don't know what that means, but if we go back about 300 pages, we can find it somewhere. We would like to have a glossary that we would hand out and that we could refer to quickly.
We've taken note of that. Thank you.
Okay.
Honorable Mayor, Council, honorable board members, and Director, thank you very much for once again inviting us to come and present our findings on the tonight's meeting is on the tertiary treatment. So I'll talk a little about that. So our agenda for this evening is to talk about the master plan background and the process that we're going through, the overall meeting schedule, the attendees' roles, discuss the technical topic, which again is the tertiary treatment, go over any questions and answer those, and then talk briefly about our next steps. So to reiterate from the last meetings, our wastewater treatment plant facility master plan goal is to adopt the recommended wastewater treatment plant upgrade alternative by March or April 2007. Again, this is to keep you on schedule. And for the City Council and District Board to adopt a final wastewater treatment facility master plan by June 2007. So why is a wastewater treatment plant facility master plan needed? Well, first, since July 2002, the Regional Board has urged the city and district to upgrade the plant discharge permit. In April 2006, the city and district approved a modification to the schedule, with penalties in the settlement agreement for full secondary treatment by March 31st, 2014. A master plan is also needed because four of the facilities are almost 60 years old. Three of the facilities are almost 50 years old. And it's also needed to provide reliability and redundancy. So the process we're using to develop this master plan is to develop information. And we're presenting that information as it's being developed, as we go along, so it's not just all at once at the end, in sort of what we're calling this topic format. And tonight's topic, again, is tertiary treatment. For these public meetings, for three purposes: to inform, gain input, and make decisions. Decisions are really needed to keep the process moving and to meet the schedule. So then we are discussing the topics being presented, obtaining agreement as needed. Tonight's is informational only. Then we summarize any issues to be further clarified and resolve those. And we'll incorporate the findings in the draft and the final master plan. So the schedule that we've been looking at, we're at meeting three, which is highlighted, which is the full tertiary treatment, and that's tonight, December 14th. It is informational only. So we still have four more meetings to go. Our project status to date, we have been provided discretion to retire the 1950s facilities. We have agreed on a design flow of 1.5 MGD with both the district and the city. The electrical study has been completed. The outcome points to a reduced rehabilitation cost, so that's good news. Expect the notice to proceed for the corrosion study this month. The city and district have the scopes for the revenue programs. So that's where we're at today. So the role of the council, board, and attendees is to listen to the information, ask plenty of questions, provide input, make decisions, be respectful of others' questions and input. Turning off those cell phones. So tertiary treatment. The outline of the tertiary treatment chapter, as Bruce said, it explains further detail than we're going to go into tonight. So we're going to explain why tertiary treatment is being considered. We're going to define the secondary treatment capacity of the existing facilities. We're going to discuss the secondary and tertiary treatment options. As Bruce said, the tertiary relies on the secondary. And we're going to analyze the alternatives, which what we do is we look at the regulatory compliance, the operational factors, and costs. We wanted to show you some of the disclaimers up front, and I'll go over these again in the end so you understand what is and isn't included in the chapters. And when I show you some numbers, what these costs really mean and don't mean. So the scope of this chapter includes the rehabilitation or construction of structures pertaining to preliminary, secondary, and tertiary treatment processes. So the second bullet kind of tells us what isn't included. The costs do not include solids handling or disinfection. So any costs we cover, that's what's in them and what's not. We also talk about some rate impacts, and the rate impacts that are quoted are only the incremental project cost for tertiary treatment options.
Just for clarification, the reason that the solids and disinfection is not involved is because that's after the fact?
After the treatment process?
Yes, is completed.
It's a very different train. So we kind of look at the water train, and then the wastewater is the solids.
Okay, so this is only about the water train?
And this is the water train, and we just wanted to focus on the tertiary.
Great, thanks.
So the rate impacts do also not include the cost of annual operations and maintenance. So why would you consider tertiary treatment at all? Well, one reason is to allow the wastewater treatment plant to recycle and reuse some or all of the flow, to discharge the wastewater to the ocean that's treated to higher than anticipated permit limits, or to be proactive with possible future regulations. And also it shows a level of sustainability a lot of communities in California are moving towards. So the capacity of the existing facility. The current wastewater treatment plant can handle a peak seasonal flow of 0.5 MGD under a new full secondary permit. That might seem a shock to you. What that means is that under the new full secondary permit is the hitch here. Right now you have a modified permit, and I'll show you some numbers in a minute, of what your levels of treatment are allowed now versus with the full secondary permit, what they'll be. So with those new higher levels, it reduces down the capacity. So we found 0.5 to be the number based on modeling that we did at these new levels. And the diminished capacity can be attributed to the higher wastewater strength, which we talked about in the previous meetings, and also that there's significantly more stringent discharge limits. Let me show you those. The existing effluent limits, you see the current permit numbers. BOD is biological oxygen demand, and TSS is total suspended solids. Those are the two main categories that Bruce and the plant really has to monitor of what's being discharged to the ocean. The current permit allows limits of 120 and 70 milligrams per liter. The future limits, which is very common throughout the state, is what we call 30-30. 30 for BOD and 30 for TSS. What we design to is 20-20. What that does, it allows you to meet the future limits at all times.
Excuse me. The 30-30 is full secondary.
Yes, that's correct. So the more conservative design limits are really used to ensure that the treatment plant will consistently meet the limits in the permit. So our approach to the alternatives analysis is because of the smaller capacity than anticipated, the addition of 0.5 MGD of tertiary to the existing facility was not included. So what that means is when the capacity is reduced down to 0.5, we did not look at just putting in 0.5 MGD of tertiary. And we'll get into some more numbers here. Hopefully it'll become clear why.
Excuse me again. Sure. Is it okay to interrupt you, or would you rather us wait to the end?
Either way is fine. If I can answer them, I will, or the design team can step up.
Just for a comparison, the plant was designed for a 1.0, was it? And yes. And so we're at half capacity. Okay, thanks.
The permit limits really affect those numbers greatly, and it's common. We see that a lot.
Can I just interject there? The plant was designed for a total treatment capacity of 2.06 million gallons with the effluent limitations that you saw on the previous slide. The way the plant was designed was they had anticipated that they would treat approximately a million gallons, 0.97 million gallons a day to a level of 30-30, mm-hmm. and then they would blend primary effluent into whatever remained, whatever other water came into the plant. Mm-hmm. And so when we started this, when you go back to the original time schedule discussions we had discussed, we've always kind of thrown out this, oh, we have a 1 million gallon capacity of secondary treatment. And what their modeling is showing with the higher influent rates and the lower design level they need to design the plant at, we've had to run, that number has shrunk.
Thanks, Bruce. So this was a decision made by Carollo because of the significantly decreased capacity is not to look at a tertiary facility that was just 0.5, since you will have higher flows. And it'll be reevaluated during the final analysis process. So the four alternatives that are in the chapter, alternative one is the trickling filters and solids contact, similar to what's existing at the plant now. Alternative two is extended aeration and activated sludge. Extended aeration, activated sludge. I'll show you a picture of that. Alternative three and four is what we're going to talk about tonight. One and two focus on secondary. Three and four have secondary and also tertiary included in them. So alternative three is membrane bioreactors, which are commonly called MBRs, and extended aeration, activated sludge with filtration added to that makes it a tertiary alternative.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Can alternatives three or four be added to one or two at a later time?
Yes.
Where are you going to then?
Not necessarily on three. Do you want to answer that? It's kind of...
Three stands alone, right?
Yes.
And then four is number two.
Yes. Three really stands alone. It's a different kind of treatment. Yes. And you have to design it for the entire flow. Which I'll also explain, whereas four is really alternative two
okay.
with filtration added. And there's different types of filtration that could be added, so that could be added at a later time. So let's talk about the extended aeration activated sludge filtration. First, the characteristics. It's commonly an oxidation ditch followed by conventional filters. And I'll show you a picture of each of those, what they look like. For purposes of this study right now, we looked at cloth media filters. There's also sand filters. We just had to look at something to give costs and such. It does meet the Department of Health Services Title 22 requirements for unrestricted reuse. So if you decided, if you had customers who need the water or want the water, unrestricted reuse means you can put it on crops, landscaping, recreational sports areas, anything, as long as it's non-drinking, non-potable. Significantly improves the suspended solids removal to less than 10 milligrams per liter. Remember I showed you the total suspended solids limits of we designed for 2020? So this gets its, you know, certainly meets that. The improved removal of emerging contaminants such as pesticides and pharmaceuticals. That's one of the things everybody's starting to get more concerned of these days is what levels are really coming into play with endocrine disruptors and pharmaceuticals and such.
And just a little interruption there, but you don't know to what degree it will be reduced, percentage-wise?
I don't think we have exact numbers. There are studies that are being done currently, and they're looking at treatment processes and throughout a treatment process, which ones take out what percentage. Okay. I don't know if we have exact numbers on
that. So that could come back later or something, if we look at this?
Dave Stringfield. The issue is that all of these emerging contaminants are taken out differently mm-hmm. with the process. Some processes don't take any of some pharmaceuticals out, but they'll take 100% of others. So what the literature is finding, and I gave you a little article on it, although it doesn't go in a lot of detail, is that the processes can, if you get a little bit more aggressive with some of the processes like the oxidation ditch, instead of taking out 30 or 40%, you can take out 80 or 90%. Just,
good. That's the comparison I needed. Thanks.
But some of these chemicals fly right through any process, mm-hmm. so you can't take them all out.
Okay. Thanks.
So on the site plan, what we did is we then looked at how would these facilities fit on the existing site. And the, I don't have a pointer here, the, off to the left-hand side, you'll see the secondary clarifiers in sort of a blue, and the tertiary filter modules. And then down lower over the existing sludge drying beds, you again see a, oh, perfect, thank you. So here we have the secondary clarifier that would be added. Here's the tertiary filter modules, so nice small filters. And then the sludge drying beds are these long, sort of rectangular shapes, octagonal. Or here's an alternate location. We had discussed possibly on-site, possibly off-site, so that's something to think about for the future, is either of these locations. This is in the existing sludge drying beds, and this, of course, is in the adjacent property.
Can I just make a point that when they first sent the drawings back to us on this, they had taken the oxidation ditches, which are the oval-shaped structures there, and put them in the trailer park. And that is city-owned property at this point, I believe, or will become city-owned property. So I had to move them kind of back into the within the fence line because that was kind of the specifications that we had. But after the last meeting, or at the last meeting, there was talk about like using the concrete plant. I mean, there was some discussion in there that I was a little amazed that we were even going that direction. But those can be moved. I think, you know, over in the direction of the concrete plant, if that was the direction people wanted to go, if land is a problem, you know, in siting them within the treatment plant. And that would be a discussion, I think, that the district and the city would have to entertain.
So is there any, those ditches, is there any, like, requirement of how far it can go one way, or is there, you know,
not to us, no. They can be located wherever.
Is there any aeration in those oxidation ditches?
Yes.
Mechanical aeration?
Yes.
Okay.
So here's what they look like. Here's a similar one in Pismo Beach that were just built, I think last year, maybe this year they were finished. So here's the secondary clarifiers. Here's two of those. And here's the oxidation ditches. You see these kind of long rectangular. The water flows down one side and back the other side and then collects and goes over to the clarifiers. Same thing with both ditches. It's nice to have the 2-4 redundancy in case something happens with one. Remember we talked about, you know, needing some redundancy at the plant to meet requirements, permit limits. And then this is an example of a cloth filter. What happens is that they have a nice small footprint. You'll see on the next one, but I showed you where these would lay out. They sit in a structure, and the water is all around this structure. The water gets sucked in. Picture this as a wheel that's covered in fabric. The water gets sucked in through the fabric to the inner tube and gets pulled out, and here's our effluent channel. So the water's being filtered through that cloth fabric, and that's how those work. So some of the operational factors of the extended aeration activated sludge filtration process are: the oxidation ditches and filters are really, they're new to the plant staff, but they are easy to operate. They are fewer facilities to operate. It would include the demolition of the primary clarifiers, the trickling filters, and the existing solids contact basin. And this type of process easily accommodates fluctuations in the influent flow and quality. So it's really very forgiving if you get a big slug of quality or quantity that comes into the plant at one time that you're worried about issues with.
A little interruption. Just if you go back to that slide for a second. So the financial trade-off by taking out those three items, the clarifiers, the filters, and the basin, and putting in these new basins is, you'll talk about that financial later? Okay.
Yes. So this is the incremental cost, the extended aeration activated sludge filtration costs. And remember, this is incremental project cost. It isn't the O&M, and it's just for the preliminary, secondary, and tertiary. So it doesn't have the solids handling or anything in it. But basically, $2 million in project costs. And when we look at that, it's about $1.50 per month for each rate payer for 1.5 MGD tertiary.
Tertiary costs, can you make that clear?
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is, yeah, the above the construction of the new secondary treatment. So this is just for the tertiary. So secondary is going to cost us whatever it's going to cost us, and then that added tertiary process is about $1.50 a month for each ratepayer for 1.5 MGD.
Excuse me. I'm a little confused tying it back to the report that you've given us. So you talked about the capital cost of being around, I think for this one, for $16 million, $24 million at the present value. And I thought that's how you were deriving that $1.50 per ratepayer. I don't understand this $2 million in project cost, I guess is what I'm saying.
Oh, the $2 million is just for the additional cost of the filter, whereas the cost you're looking at is the additional secondary and...
Oh, this is both. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So that has everything in it.
Tracy, can you clarify something? Is that not including the oxidation ditch? That's only the filtration system?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. Anything else? Yes.
While we're all talking, if
sure.
I think it's like two or three slides back, you had the cloth filters there.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible to go back to that? Yeah, there we go. All right, now, is that are those four separate filters, or is it one containing four that are together? What is that?
It's one. The blue box is the structure.
Right.
So it would be but one structure, and then to handle... And I pulled this one out of a catalog, so I don't know how many cloth discs would be in the one that you need for the 1.5, but they come in certain sizes that, so you get the outside box, and then you put the number of discs in them mm-hmm. to accommodate the flow.
And do we have any idea of their lifespan?
Do we know? Pretty good, but...
All the mechanical equipment you see there in the boxes, you know, they have a fairly indefinite lifespan, easily the 20 to 30 years that our planning period is. And the cloth, they're fairly new, but we're finding that they don't wear out every week, every month, every year. They're getting years of service, and they're not terribly expensive to replace. They are actually just cloth.
Right.
Fabricated cloth.
Right. Thank you.
So if we wanted to look at a sand filter instead, you would give us those comparisons later as opposed to the cloth?
We've done a lot of both of these. And, you know, I have to say that these are market-priced. They compete with each other. So they end up costing about the same. You know, one will raise or lower the prices to win the bid. So so that's why we thought... we would give you the kind of the latest technology, and that price is what you're going to see, whether it's sand or cloth.
The cloth filters also have a much smaller footprint, so if you need it to take up less room, then the sand filters generally are much bigger. So on to membrane bioreactors, MBRs. The characteristics, the aeration basins followed by MBR units with a total of 20 membrane cassettes. So we'd add aeration basins and then we put in MBR units. And again, I'll show you where we've laid it out on the site. These also meet the Department of Health Services Title 22 requirements for unrestricted reuse. All the costs we're giving you are also for the treatment for these tertiary systems, not the distribution. So if you decide you want to go to customers, it would be whatever additional pipe distribution is required. This has an even better suspended solids removal than tertiary, so less than 5. Remember, our limits were around 20, and the extended aeration was around 10, what its limits were. Does have pathogen removal, and even better removal of emerging contaminants is what they're finding with the MBRs. So when we lay these out, you see here's the aeration basins and an MBR building. So there'd only be these two facilities. We wouldn't need anything in the lower areas. This is what they look like. This is a tube of almost spaghetti string-like long plastic things that straws, yes, thank you, almost like a straw that the water goes through and it gets filtered through the straw, believe it or not. And so they're very, very efficient. High cost, high energy, but we'll show you that, but they are very efficient. 20 of these. So the operational factors for the membrane bioreactors, it includes the fewest facilities to operate of any alternative. You saw just we're adding those two processes. Requires a little more skilled operations and maintenance, and a little more attention needs to be paid. They have to be designed for the peak hour flow. We can't just pass part of the flow around them or as we could the other. So these do have a significantly higher power cost, and you'll see that in some of the final analysis. So the incremental costs above the construction of new secondary treatment facilities, $9 million in project costs, and $6 per month for each ratepayer for the 1.5. Again, these would just be for the MBRs, the membrane bioreactors, not the aeration basins. And this is the incremental cost above the secondary.
Is that because the aeration basins are going to be part of the secondary?
No? Those cassettes you saw are very expensive. That's why.
The question is about the high cost?
No, well, I think Tim brought up that the cost for the aeration basins weren't included in the previous one either. And I guess my question is, why not?
The other one we had, the secondary process, the oxidation ditch, was not included, and here the aeration basins are not included. This is just the incremental cost for the tertiary system. To give you an idea of this is above and beyond what would be required.
Yeah, so if the cost of the MBRs were $30 million, we subtracted out what secondary would be, and that left $6
million. Okay.
Yeah.
So we then did a side-by-side comparison, and I think this will help everybody. You know, we'll go through this. You can see at the top, we talk about different factors, and then have the MBR, that's the membrane bioreactors alternative, and this is the extended aeration activated sludge filtration alternative. And I highlighted the ones that were the more advantageous. So for capital cost, the cost is more moderate on the extended aeration alternative. It's higher on the MBRs for operating and capital. The residential rate, as you saw, the $6 a month versus the $150, again, for just the incremental above secondary for the tertiary process. The effluent quality, superior, excellent, both of them still meet, as you saw, DHS requirements for unrestricted reuse. Both of them meet the requirements. Ease of operation, moderate. We said this is much easier. They're really equal in the utilization of the existing infrastructure. Nothing, you know, minimal there. Similarity to the existing process, they're really not similar, either of them. Easily accommodates varying flows. Remember I said it's easier. The extended aeration is a little more forgiving, easier process, and can accommodate some burps in the system, whereas the MBR has a harder time. Constructability, MBRs are easier, as you saw. You take that the straw configuration, plop it down in a basin. Enhanced pathogen removal, it does have a better removal. Again, both of them meet the tertiary requirements. Total suspended solids removal, superior. It's really equal for unrestricted reuse and odors between the two alternatives. The footprint is smaller for the MBR, and the emerging contaminants, again, there's more removal on the MBRs because filtering water through that little tiny straw is a lot harder than filtering it through the cloth. That's what it comes down to. So the two options, just kind of comparing those, the extended aeration filtration, the incremental project cost of sending tertiary filtered effluent to the ocean, the reason we said to the ocean, again, it's not distributing it out to customers, is $1.50 a month, more than the secondary. It does meet the unrestricted reuse limits. You'd have an improved emerging contaminants removal. It's easily expandable. You can add it on in phases and can start with 0.5, for example, and add on.
Excuse me, I think Rob's got a question, but you need a microphone.
The residential increase of $6 and $1.50 a month, how did you figure that out with two separate entities?
We simply took the capital cost and amortized it over 20 years at an interest rate, and we just added the total number of connections that all of you have. So it's, you know, we didn't, it you know.
Worked out two different entities.
Huh? Excuse me?
How that would work. You use this as one total connection as one entity.
Yeah, I divided the total cost by the total number of users connected to the existing system. I didn't distinguish.
There was no way yet to know.
Thank you, Rob. We're on to it.
It allows us to make a comparative. For MBRs, the membrane bioreactors, the incremental project cost of sending tertiary filtered effluent to the ocean is $6 a month, more than the secondary. It really takes the effluent to the next level, more of an advanced tertiary level. You would meet the current unrestricted reuse limits. It removes additional pathogens from the wastewater stream, and it has even better emerging contaminants removal. This one, however, you see, is not expandable. You have to go with the full flow or nothing, because you have to put in those basins and the number of MBR units. So the points for you all to consider, one and two, really, is it worth an additional $1.50 a month or $6 a month per ratepayer to discharge tertiary filtered effluent to the ocean? Just consideration. Should only a portion of the total flow receive tertiary filtration? That's done at a lot of treatment plants that are larger. If they have a 10 MGD plant, they'll put in 2 or 5 MGD of tertiary, depending on customers' needs and such. Or should the decision to include tertiary treatment be driven by grant availability and or customer needs? These are just, again, some points to consider.
Mr. Ennis, before you ask your question, then was the comparison based on, since you said that the cloth filters can be put in a piece at a time, mm-hmm. but your estimate includes up to 1.5,
yes.
I assume. Okay,
both
thanks.
Of them included the 1.5.
Yeah,
that's
thanks.
Correct. So the disclaimers again, remember that the numbers we show, that the scope of the chapter really only includes the rehabilitation or construction of the structures pertaining to the headworks, which is the preliminary treatment, or the secondary or tertiary, and the secondary or tertiary treatment processes. The costs do not include the solids handling or disinfection. The rate impacts quoted are for the incremental cost of the tertiary options in addition to the construction of a new ditch or new trickling filters or new aeration basins. And the rate impacts only include the cost of the project and do not take into account the cost of annual operations and maintenance. Those costs are included in the report, I believe on table 811. So questions and answers. We do have the engineers here who've been working on these and coming up with the costs and comparisons diligently, so hopefully can answer everything.
Okay, questions from council? Rick?
Is Corolla doing any research on grant availability for tertiary treatment?
I don't think it is.
Right now, we're not doing anything specifically on your behalf, but we probably have maybe 1,000 clients or something, and so we're always looking. In fact, one of our analysts just looked at the recent propositions that were passed and distributed to us opportunities that might be there. Nothing jumps out, but at the legislature, they're still trying to sort out what does this legislation mean, and we're tracking that to see if anything pops out that would work for all of our clients, and I look at it specifically for you. But to answer your question directly, that right now that is not in our scope of work. But,
And I guess either is finding customers for tertiary treated water. That's not part of your...
It's not part of our current scope, but we did complete a comprehensive reuse study, Tracy and I did, in 99, and it's about that thick, and it and I think it's still current because not a lot has changed, and we did complete that study. The results of that study was that it would be very expensive because of the pipelines to get, you know, like to the golf course. That's a long ways for one customer, and there's not a lot along that route to share the cost, so it became very expensive to do some reuse.
And when you talk about reuse and you talk about not on recreational areas, but it's okay for a golf course but not a soccer field?
It's okay anywhere except drinking water. You cannot drink it. You can use it, soccer fields, you can use it, cemeteries, you can use it in the median landscaping on your streets, yes.
And does Carollo have an opinion about discharging tertiary treated water to the ocean?
None of our clients are doing it, so I think that would be your decision if you wanted to do that. No, we wouldn't object if you did it, but we wouldn't tell you that you need to do it now, or do we see in the future that someone will come right now and make you do that for a discharge to the ocean?
Well, I would imagine that nobody does it because it's certainly a waste of a lot of money.
And certainly nobody does it because, as with Bruce's testing, you know, the test results have shown no connection between your discharge and any malady in the ocean or the beaches or anything. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Betty, questions? Okay, Clayton.
Okay, any questions from our board?
Just to make sure I understand, I think I halfway understand what you're saying.
Okay.
With the tertiary.
Can you get a microphone?
I'm sorry. Sorry about that. With the tertiary EAAS technique.
Yes.
If we went only full secondary, we would be meeting all the requirements of the state. Is there any reasonable reason to assume that things will get better technology-wise, where we'll get better, where the amount of contaminants remaining will be less because there'll be better ways to process? I mean, just your feel by being in the business.
Well, I think the answer to that is yes, and that's what I actually put in front of you, is this membrane bioreactor is a new technology and something that until the science of making those very small straws became available, that we didn't have that option, and now we do, but it's still expensive to do. But if you want to not just take more of the pathogens, but essentially take all of the pathogens out, all the organisms, they will all come out. The pesticides, the chemicals are much smaller, they're molecules. Most of them will pass through it, but In the membrane bioreactor biology, the biology does a little better job than the ditch of treating it, and we think it's just an artifact of the biology that's left behind. You know, some of the biology can't get through the screen, so we got a little bit more biology to do a little better job of taking out treating chemicals that that otherwise would pass through. So, yes, MBRs are that next step. They are still very expensive, and you know, down the road, maybe there'll be another process that comes up. I don't think the ditch will change. If we put a ditch in, you probably got what you got. You know, we won't be retrofitting the ditch with something that magically takes out more contaminants. There is a strong move in the industry on pre-treatment and being green to get users to not use some of these emerging contaminants, but some of them, a lot of them that are discharged, I mean, are biological hormones that are human hormones that are discharged every day that you're not going to get away from. Long answer, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That stimulated another question for me. If I could, what does this do then to the quality of our solids? Are you prepared to talk about solids then? They'll be more contaminated?
You know, that research is just starting. Clearly, if we take it out, it's going to go in the solids. But now we treat the solids. Now, most of these contaminants are treatable, but are they treatable in the short amount of time we have it inside the treatment plant? Well, if we send it to the digesters, we're going to treat it another 30 days in a different process so that we can, you know, probably attack, you know, different contaminants. Or we physically take it out to a field and spread it on a crop and put it out in the sunlight, UV, you know. So when we move it over to the solid sites, we have a lot more opportunities to have it treated and get more removal.
Thanks.
Any other questions over there? Okay, let's let Kayoka's finish. Did you have any others?
I just am very anxious to hear comments from Bruce. In the end, I think we will rely a lot on Bruce's input, and the direction that he'd like to go as the manager of the plant. We discussed this at length at our meeting last night. We sort of saw a direction through this, but I'm anxious to hear Bruce's input.
Okay, Rick, one more question.
Some of these chemicals that are used in crops, the insecticides and such, will any of them have like a half-life once they're exposed over a certain period of time, or to sunlight, or this kind of thing? Or does the strength of the individual chemicals stay the same for?
You're right on. That is the biggest variable. The half-life of these chemicals can go from 3 hours to 500 years. You know, and then when you expose them to sunlight, you can actually break them into a different chemical that may or may not be better or worse than its original chemistry. So they're looking at that. But I think what I've seen is that if, you know, putting it out like on a agricultural field, exposing the sunlight, letting the biology of the soil do its thing, I think we're going to see some good success on a lot of them. I think there'll be some that just go through.
Yeah. Yes. Then currently, don't we do our solids on site right now?
Composting
right now on lot. And so if we go with the bio filter, there will still be room for that on site, but if we go with the aerator, there won't be room on site for the composting?
I think, in general, that's fair. I think with either process, we're going to need a little bit more room for composting. But with the oxidation ditch, you will need more room to do that composting. Yes. We definitely will step outside the current fence line, but easily stay within the property you jointly own, whether you switch properties or not. Yeah.
Okay, Bruce, did you have any comments on this? The Cayucas board would like to hear from you.
Well, first thing I'd like to say, just on the emerging contaminants, you know, there's a lot of discussion here about pesticides and whatnot. We currently screen for pesticides in the effluent. We have a very extensive list of chemicals that we check for. We don't find them. We have to kind of bring it back to, in our case, it's a very domestic waste stream. We don't have a lot of industry in town. We do look at the industries that we do have to make sure they're following best management practices for disposal of whatever they're doing. I think the biggest concern that I would imagine Tracy is her, I think her area of expertise is reclamation and looking at some of, like, you know, it's what's coming out of people's bodies in terms of they're taking aspirins and estrogen and birth control, and those are the kind of things that I think people are really starting to look at, and we don't test for those right now. I don't think anybody tests for those right now. There are no limits put forth by the regional board. City of San Luis isn't looking at it. City of LA might be looking at it as a long-term approach, but they don't have effluent limits for that. But if you look at our basic effluent chemistry, it's very clean. So if people were watching thinking, oh my God, we're dumping a bunch of this nasty stuff in the ocean, that's not necessarily the case. And I have the results in my office if people would like to see what we actually do find. I guess the biggest thing that I've seen that's come out of this is the 500,000 gallons of capacity that Corolla modeled, and you know, I've always kind of been under the assumption that we had 1 million gallons of secondary treatment to work with, and that we could, when we first went into this project, we were going to polish off the last 500,000 gallons with membrane bioreactor or some other form of treatment. And this kind of has put a little different spin on the way we have to approach the problem, I think. And I think it's probably cost a little bit more dollar value in the whole process because we need more treatment. So with that being said, I'm kind of waiting to see what they come back with on the secondary. I would say that if anybody, I know that a couple of the board members from Cayucas, I think, went to the Pismo grand opening. Pismo would be happy to walk the council or anybody that's interested through their new plant. It's kind of a neat thing to go see. CMC is building pretty much a sister facility, only they've got the filtration. And theirs is online, I know they have water in it. So, it might be a good thing later in the new year to have the council go, and you could do it as a group, you could do it individually, but it gives you a different idea and a visual of what it really looks like, and you can talk to the people that are running the plant and see what kind of effluent quality they have and whatnot. The ditch certainly is, it's pretty attractive. It looks easy to operate. It's clean, it's neat, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of odor to it. So in that sense, it's a good thing, but it's a big capital investment up front. I'm still scratching my head over the amount of trickling filter that we would have to add in order to get to full secondary treatment at the existing facility. I think we've gone from approximately, and if you've ever been to the plant, it's the, my daughter calls it the bird merry-go-round, but it's the rock filter with the water being distributed over it. We're going from 30,000 cubic feet, and I believe the engineering projections are now like 240,000 cubic feet of media, so that's 8 times the volume in order to get from our current BOD discharge of about 50 milligrams per liter down to about 20. So I just kind of, it still kind of boggles my mind a little bit, and I keep calling Eric up and saying, are you really sure we need that much? But I think the thing to do now is let everybody kind of look at what they've presented and then come back and look at the secondary alternatives. And certainly another nice part about the ditch, I think, is you could phase in tertiary treatment. If you wanted to put in 100,000 gallons worth of tertiary treatment, I'm sure they could say, hey, this is how big a filter you would need to put in. And it wouldn't, I'm imagining that $2 million cost would come down incrementally. The big factor in here that we haven't gotten to is biosolids, and I think biosolids is going to be a big issue. If I'm a believer in the composting project we have now, and in order for that to carry forth, the counties is going to promulgate a permanent ordinance for land application of biosolids in the county. And if they lump composted biosolids with biosolids in general, I think our composting project would probably go away, because the restrictions on land application would be pretty severe, and I'm not sure there's a lot of people that would be willing to enter into the sort of agreements and the liabilities associated with doing that. But the biosolids rehab is—it's a lot of money. It's a lot more money than I had anticipated. You know, if you go back to one of the chapters they had discussed earlier, I think you're looking at between $2.5 and $5.5 million in capital costs. And the 2.5 is the bare minimum, and the 5.5 gets you a rehabilitation of what we're currently doing. But when you go to see PISMO, you'll see a very simple biosolids process. There's no digesters. They're kind of putting out a subclass B product. That's, you know, it's kind of lower in quality, but they have a place to compost it, and it's certainly easier to operate. So there's still a lot of options on the table and tinker toys to pull together to get the final project going.
Not that it's a big deal in the total picture of things, but things like the bio or the membrane bioreactor, it says it needs higher degree of maintenance and operation. Are people trained for that? Is that something we'll retrain our people in? Or
I would assume it comes with an owner's manual, so David will be down there teaching us how to drive it. I think it's probably, you know, our guys are pretty skilled in mechanical needs, and they understand wastewater, so I'm assuming that it's something that you'd bring people in and help train on the system. And I'm sure that goes with an oxidation ditch as well, because that's a little bit different process for us. But I think it's easily learnable.
I don't understand your comment about liking the one that you can phase in. Are you saying that because it's cheaper to phase it in than it is to go with the biofilter? Or am I confused?
Well, I think if you go to a secondary treatment, if you meet secondary treatment standards, mm-hmm. and you want to put in tertiary treatment, we have, you know, we've consistently kicked that can, and we've had a hard time knowing what we would do with 1.5 or 1 million gallons of tertiary treated water. Mm-hmm. And the obvious solution is to put it in the ocean. And I don't think you're going to find a lot of people that would agree with that decision. I think they would tell you that it's you're spending money for something you don't need to do if you're going to have strictly an ocean discharge. Mm-hmm. I did speak with a gentleman that is a retired manager of Contra Costa County, and his recommendation was to finish the secondary treatment process and then really figure out what your tertiary needs are and then build what you need. So if you want to go water the parks, build the capacity to water the parks. If you want to do the golf course, build the capacity to water the golf course. And I think there, you can keep adding them as you go, I think.
Yeah. I don't want us to leave without, you know, making sure we understand what we're telling you about those two options. The MBR, the membrane bioreactor, it essentially is a process all by itself. So you have, you know, every drop of water has to go through the MBR, every drop. And it's kind of like you're going to buy one, mm-hmm. you know, even though it's got 100, you know, every drop has to go through it. Whereas the other option, you can build that ditch and it will meet secondary. You can build 1.5 MGD a ditch and you've met secondary. And you can decide how much filter you want on it. You can add a 100,000 gallons, 500, a million. You can add them in increments because you've already met your ocean discharge requirement. You can add the filters as you want to, as you need to, as the public or you demand.
So it's not based on cost. It's based on where we might think we would use it. It's based on use. And as we build up our use. That's what you're both saying.
That's the option.
That's
yes.
the option.
Yeah. We've given you $1.50 mm-hmm. if somebody decided you wanted it to tertiary to the ocean. $1.50 per user if someone decided I want a tertiary filter everything before it goes in the ocean. So, but if you took half of it, it might be 75 cents a person.
So it's really, so at that point it becomes, it's a financial decision, but it's also just a practical decision.
It's an environmental decision.
But it's not an environmental decision, because if you're going to do that, you'd go all the way to the 1.5 and make sure everything's filtered tertiary, regardless of where you dump it. I mean that's the ultimate extreme environmental decision.
Right. Yes. Okay. Yes, it is. And again, just secondary treatment.
Alternative three, the MBR, is that entirely tertiary?
Yes.
So there is no secondary concept there.
No.
Everything goes through that.
Every drop, every drop will be tertiary treated. Every drop.
And then alternative four was a combination of the ditch and some filters that allow you to create tertiary at your demand.
Yeah, it does allow that, yeah. The $1.50 is so, assuming all of it, but you're right.
Our layman's guess was that we'd be doing the ditch and doing the filters when we wanted tertiary, or if we wanted tertiary.
That's
your option. Three.
Alternative two, and then four. You add four, depending on your demand for tertiary.
Yeah,
So does, I know Morro Bay spoke about the demand for tertiary. Do they have any idea of what their requirements would be or what their demand would be? Bruce,
do you
have any idea what the demand for tertiary would be for Morro Bay? I know you just said you don't, but.
You know, I looked yesterday at the comprehensive recycled water study that they had done, and they looked at like watering the cloisters, the concrete plant, the high school, and the high school's now on a different well system, so we'd have to tweak those numbers. You know, off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you. I bet it's not 100,000 gallons a day, though. But the number's someplace in that range, I think. I'm going to guess 50 to 100,000. But when it, you know, in the winter months, those all that irrigation goes away anyway. So it's been a very difficult thing to get your hands around in a cost-effective way.
Okay, and then Rob pointed out that if all the water were to be used in Morro Bay, then probably the Morro Bay people would be paying for the tertiary treatment portion of the plant. So now it comes down in my mind to what's the probability that in the future, near future, and the near future now for us is at the end of 8 years, will there be requirements from EPA or Regional Water to go to tertiary for some reason?
You're asking my crystal ball, and my crystal ball says in 8 years, no. In 20 years, there's a good chance. You know, my crystal ball changed. If we have a drought in the next 8 years, I change my crystal ball. To build more trickling filters and take more flow, is that?
Yeah.
And the pricing and the alternative we've laid out, and laid out trickling filters on the maps in your report, are for 1.5 MGD. I think if I understand the land you own, there's a little bit left. Yeah.
But there's no inherent technical limitation of going to 2.0 or.
No technological. It's just land.
Maybe real estate. Yeah.
Land and trunk lines coming in. You know. Yes.
I'd like to just continue. I'd like to ask for our staff, Bill. Did you have any comments you'd like to make, Bonnie? Mr. Carmel. Okay, let me ask one other question, and I know we had a discussion at our last meeting here about allowing the public to make comments. John Lemons had some comments earlier. Some information has been provided that may put things in a little better perspective here. Would we like to offer John an opportunity to make a comment?
John, did you have something more you'd like to add? Okay. Anybody else wanted to comment on anything that's been presented? Okay. All right. Now, my understanding is we're just accepting the report. We're not making a decision on this tonight, so that comes next, right?
I'd like to ask one other question, just a technical question here. In your little analysis where you had some charts and you said here are the advantages and disadvantages, when you did the open ditch, and it's called the aeration process, and somebody mentioned, does it have odor or absorb oxygen or something? What was your question, Hal?
Did it have mechanical aerators?
Okay, well, my question is, that in my mind implies that there would be a lot of odor associated with that ditch.
Not so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think if you go to Pismo, you'll find that, I believe you'll find an acceptable level of odor. So it's a musty smell, what I call, not a swampy smell, but I mean, it's not a raw sewage smell. No one that I know of around, everyone around Ping and ended up with a very long motion concerning having, I believe, a joint contract with independent scopes of work for preparation for each agency. We got a little sideways in there after that meeting and trying to get staffs kind of on the same page as to what direction to go. We met with Mr. John Johnson of Corello Engineers, and the outcome of that meeting, I think, was that we agreed to put together a joint contract with each agency having its own scope of work. And basically, if you look at it, they're very similar scopes of work. And each agency, unlike past contracts we've done, has a not-to-exceed value on the scope of work for each agency. So it's not done by capacity or percentage of flow into the plant. It's actually just, hey, this is what we think it's going to cost to do this scope of work. The program is called, we've got some clarification from Mr. Johnson at Corello Engineers concerning the draft revenue program. It is called a draft revenue program up until, I believe, 90% of the construction is complete, at which time, I guess historically, you would revise the revenue program to reflect any change in costs. Mr. Johnson said presently, most of the time what happens now is, unless there's huge changes in the construction costs, you simply write a letter to the state board and say, hey, please accept the draft revenue program as a final program. So the not to exceed values that are listed in the contract should cover development of this part of the program up to the finalizing of the project. This, you know, there was discussion at the last meeting concerning an overall financial plan. This does not include looking for grant funding. It does not include some of the other items that may be required, such as the application for the state revolving fund loan and some of those items. We would have to come back at a later date to either award another contract or get somebody else to help us do that. Staff will be doing some of that. I know that Susan's over there nodding her head, so I'm going in the right direction. But we're probably still going to need some help in the future. But what this should do, I believe, is bring back a rate study that will help the boards and the council understand what sort of rate impacts are going to be required, not only for the treatment plant, but for the capital improvement projects you have, and they have to do similar stuff for the state waste discharge requirements that we're going to be responsible for in the near future. So I believe those numbers will be segregated out.
And is this the place where that comparison that I asked for would come into play, that we're being looked at in the same way that Cayucas is, or is that under a different revenue?
Well, I think that's going to come under the flows and loads, because those were specific questions to how we develop the flows and loads projections.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly at some point in this discussion, I believe you have to have cost apportionment,
mm-hmm.
because you have to decide who's going to pay, you know, if you have a whatever X capital cost is, we have to decide how that X is divided up when we go into paying for the project. So it should provide some stimulus for more conversation.
So though this suggested rate, then that's why it won't be final, because we haven't had that discussion yet.
I think we're going to have that discussion
first,
during the development of this program.
Okay. Okay. Thanks.
Rick, any questions? Kaikas?
I just wanted to, Bruce, maybe you could help me with understanding the scope of this contract. The item on our schedule of things we need to do to get through this process, didn't we budget a bigger number in this area?
Yeah, we did budget a bigger number. I believe the original estimate from the engineers was $85,000.
Okay, and are we doing all $85,000 worth of work for $29,000, or is there some more left to do?
I believe there's going to be more left to do as we go down the path. I think this is just the kind of the initial get the ball rolling, get a rate study out there, and then as we get into the state revolving loan stuff and we look at grant funding, we may have to, when I've spoken to Mr. Stringfield, you know, his comment was to go look for grant funding. They would do that on a time and materials basis, and they would put together a level of effort appropriate with what we would direct them to do.
Okay.
But of the, excuse me.
Go ahead.
But of the 80-some thousand, whatever we budgeted for this, how much are we getting with this 29,000? Do we have a feel?
You know, I don't know if I can answer that question. Okay. I think we're going to...
Council?
I would move that the council approve the contract with Corolla Engineers for preparing the draft revenue program with for amount not to exceed $16,000.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None.
Okay. Your motion was to do the 16.
We took our 16. You get the 13.
Okay. Cayucas.
Is that the correct way to do that? I'm looking at our city attorney.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Okay. Then Cayucas' motion would be in order to approve the award of contract to Corolla Engineers for Cayucas' portion, which is $13,000.
I so move, as stated.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous.
All right.
Mayor Peters.
Moving on to item B3, discussion of public outreach for this facility master plan. Bruce?
Yeah, I believe at the last meeting there was discussion of this item was presented actually at the last meeting, and there was continued discussion about how to get the information out to the public in terms of the upgrade process and what was going on. I believe there was also mention of perhaps a website or a more enhanced website. I can say that the Public Service Department has a new website that they recently designed that has more information on the upgrade process, and we will continue to add that information as it becomes available. And at this point, Mr. Ambo's not here. I was hoping for a little backup on this one from him, but on the back of my staff report, you know, we've had public meetings. The meetings are televised, so the DVDs are available at the library. And certainly people can always contact me with questions. So if there's direction that the council and the board would like to see on getting more information out there, I'm certain that we would be welcome to hearing it. I am slowly preparing a PowerPoint demonstration in terms of trying to kind of bring that, if you want to do it at a Lions Club or something like that, I'm certain we could do that.
One of them really does help. Any other questions or comments on this?
The water bills were also mentioned in previous
meetings. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just to follow up on Mr. Grantham's comment, though, it'd be nice to make sure that we do that periodically, mm-hmm. Like the last one was in May, this
right.
is December, that maybe we ought to do that quarterly. And just even if there hasn't been a lot of progress, just a status report to the
right.
community. But I agree with your comment that getting out to the clubs and seniors would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, we had a discussion at our board a couple of times, actually. We were anxious to see if we could come up with a PowerPoint presentation that we could take to our Lions Club, the Lioness. Bruce has said he's working on that. And I'm assuming, Tracy, that somewhere in your scope of work, was there something in there to fund that activity for you? Well, there was something in our overall plan, that an action item that talked about that, right?
We'll have. It's not a large effort. We'll have. Yeah.
Okay. And then our concern that was expressed at our board, Bruce, was that if one of our board members, for example, took that to the Lions Club and presented this PowerPoint presentation, and somebody asked a technical question and we gave a wrong answer, we might regret it. So your name came up. But also we volunteered Bill Callahan or Bonnie to come and help out. And I didn't know if that was something that you felt might be a role that you wanted to keep a hold of. And again, those are really the two organizations I think that you would want to talk to in Cayucas. But maybe that you, as Mayor Peter said, there's a number of groups in Morro Bay that would probably enjoy the same information.
Well, certainly if you know, so directed, I'm certain I can take the show on the road. I'm probably at this point, at the point we are at now, I'm probably the person that can talk to the subject the easiest and answer some of the technical questions. So I will go back and hone my computer pencil and finish my PowerPoint and then see what we can do with it.
I had one other thought, and I can't remember if we raised this earlier, but to add to noticing, and certainly the quarterly little notes in our water bills, but like this past Monday at our city council meeting.
On item number 3, where it says that the contract with Carollo includes a facilitator to enhance meeting presentations, which I assume is these meetings, engage public participation, and advise the city district on outreach ideas and programs. So that's the extent of your involvement. You're not taking it on the road, but you'll tell us, give suggestions as to how to present it and that sort of thing, correct? Okay. I just wanted to clarify that on the report.
As Bruce stated, you all are really the best ones to take it on the road,
right?
Him specifically with the technical issues, because it's your community, you'll get more buy-in.
Right.
So I've been helping him, gave him an outline of the way to present the information and to get people to understand the problem,
mm-hmm,
instead of just the solutions.
Okay, thank you. All right, any further discussion on that one, or shall we move on? All right. C1, new business, the fourth quarter invoice. Susan.
Thank you, council members and board members. This is the fourth quarter invoice for the Cayuga Sanitary District that we've presented. There is an adjustment to it. An error was made on the city's part in preparing the invoice. So the actual total to Cayucas is $113,001.13. And we verified that. Bonnie Conley caught the error and brought it to our attention.
Okay.
So we would like for you to accept the invoice with the adjusted amount.
And where on here is that which number do we cross out and put in place of that?
Yeah.
The bottom?
Actually, you're looking at the rent distribution and where it says total year to date, $49,753.09.
Uh-huh.
It's really $96,494.12. That carries over into the net current amount due column for a negative $61,414.60. That takes your total subject to invoicing based on flow to $389,927.98. And then that nets out to the $113,001.13 that's owed by the district.
Right on. Okay.
Any questions? C2, status report on the City of Morro Bay wastewater treatment alternatives analysis in the
Can I just ask one quick question? Who was the second on the motion for the district?
No.
Hal.
I was.
Hal.
Yeah, what do you know about that?
A quiet second.
Okay. Status report on Chorro Valley.
Yeah, this staff report was brought forward at the request of the sanitary district, and I guess an apology is in order to the district that when this item was originally brought to council in, I think, late August and early September for direction to staff, we didn't notify the district that we were proceeding down looking at this alternative, and I think they discovered that we were doing this through an article in the newspaper, and I don't think it sat real well. So I apologize for the miscommunication. It was, I think, an oversight on staff's part to not be in contact with you and let you know what we were doing. I was a little embroiled in other issues at the time, but so what I've done is basically brought in the staff report. The staff report for the September 11th City Council meeting, which talked about the rationale for looking at that alternative. And then the second staff report is the award of contract that occurred this last Monday night for Canon to actually do the analysis. And the background on this is that in 1996 and 98 or 99, Boyle Engineering looked at the feasibility of constructing a wastewater treatment plant in the Chorro Valley with a creek discharge. They also looked at groundwater injection, I believe, and possible reclamation for irrigation, but the ultimate outcome of that study was to look at diverting some flow from the wastewater treatment plant at the city and sending it over to the Chorro Valley for treatment. And part of the rationale behind that was to get the existing plant to full secondary treatment by removing a portion of the flow from the City of Morro Bay. So with that, I think I will just open it up to questions. And
okay, Council, any comments or questions? Caicos.
I guess our only concern is how does that affect your 1.5 million gallons per day design capacity of your new plant? So make that a question.
The information will be in front of council and the district board to see, A, whether it's still feasible. And that should happen at the same time that we're getting the rest of this information from Carollo so that the council can make a decision. If they did, in fact, decide to pursue that alternative, I would assume that the 1.5 MGD design would be reduced in some fashion based on the amount of flow that was diverted over to the Chorro Valley.
Okay, well, we had our meeting in, I believe it was September. We asked Carollo, you know, how solid does this number have to be? Can it vary a little bit? The answer was, yeah, we can still tweak the numbers a little bit. If you go build a new treatment plant somewhere else, that doesn't sound like tweaking some numbers. It sounds like a major change in the design concept and the way you're going about business. And I guess I would ask David, are we still tweaking numbers here if we run off and build another treatment plant somewhere else? Or are we changing what we're doing here? Do we need to stop doing what we're doing now so that we can wait 10 weeks and then decide what we really are doing? Again, our concern was that we were trying to beat a clock here with the Regional Water Quality Control Board, NRDC, and a bunch of other folks that were chasing us. So we were trying to move ahead here, and it sounds like it's trying to stop us from moving ahead. So my question to David really is about how far can we tweak a number and, you know, or vary it a little bit versus build a new plant and change it a lot?
I'll let you think a minute, and I'll just add something here. I don't think we were trying to do an end run around anyone, and I'm sorry that you weren't told about this. That obviously was a mistake. But what this came as a recommendation from our Public Works Advisory Board. They said as long as we were looking at all these alternatives to at least explore this one because it had been brought up previously so that we'd have all of the information together when we made our decisions. It is an option where we can use reclaimed water, and that's always been a goal of the city. But it's not trying to, you know, surprise you or hide anything. That wasn't the purpose at all. It was simply a matter of looking at all the options at the same time when we are making decisions. Well, now you can talk.
Well, David's still thinking. If you
that solution out as fast as we can.
Yeah. Now?
I think it's very understandable to take a look at this potential. If I were in your position, I would have done the same thing. So thank you for the explanation.
Okay. But you can still answer the question now, David, if you had enough time to think.
Well, let me.
Wait, back tomorrow.
My concern here, and I don't have a problem with Hal's statement there about it's a good thing to look at all your alternatives, but you should have looked at them 10 weeks ago, plus back to September 12th when we had our meeting. That concept should have been completed when we sat there at the last meeting and said, "Okay, I want this exact much." Capacity in this plant that we're going to build, and your comment, Mayor, was that when you make your decision, and I had a feeling that we made that decision on September 12th, but apparently I was wrong. So back to how far can you tweak a number until it isn't tweaking?
I've not been involved in the Charles, so I don't know what numbers they're talking. You know, they're even evaluating.
Well, I just heard somebody say something about half of the flow.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. So, I don't know. But I think tweaking the flow a couple hundred thousand gallons is not a big bump in my road. Tweaking the flow 600,000 gallons. It's not a deal breaker. It doesn't, we don't fall off a cliff, but I probably would need a little bit more time, but I can probably make it up and make the final deadline. Might need, a little help to recalc the numbers and get it back out. But, I don't think it would delay the end date. Some of the milestones in between, would be set back a little bit.
Okay. Again, my biggest concern is keeping ahead of EPA and NRDC and the Regional Water Quality Control Board.
I think we can maintain that schedule with that bump in the if that bump in the road occurs, Corolla can put the resources there to make the end date for our part of it. At the
okay.
Treatment.
Well, at least in my mind, we were not just looking at staying on schedule. We were
in big trouble financially. That's my concern about it, and it was a surprise to me also. I don't know if anybody can answer the question about, regarding the cost and what it's going to do to us in Cayucas, because that's what I'm caring about right now.
Well, as far as the schedule, I'm not going to answer the cost, but as far as the schedule, we are not planning to have it delay anything, certainly. We still have to decide about tertiary. We're getting all that information, and that's something that we've got to come up with an answer. So we're aware of the timeline, and we're going to observe it. So we'll make some difficult decisions in short time. Rob, did you have anything to answer on that? Okay. Anything else, then?
No, thank you very much.
Okay. No, we're very aware of the schedule. We don't want to mess that up at all. All right. So scheduling the next joint meeting and agenda items. Any items that anyone would like to add to our agenda?
I believe that the date for the next meeting has already been set. And I think it's January 25th. Is that correct?
Yeah. I think we have a conflict with that, don't we? Wasn't that the one that we came up with a conflict?
Well, there's a meeting the day before.
Yeah.
And if there's...
And we just pulled
our question was whether there will be things to talk about in January.
Yeah.
Or if we can put it off a week. I don't know how the Cayucas...
Yeah, the actual meeting, tentative meeting schedule, we had put out in May.
Right.
contained a January 25th meeting date.
January 25th is full secondary.
Is the full secondary discussion.
I think that's pretty important.
All right, so we need to keep that one. We've got like three meetings that week, so that's okay. We'll do it.
Cool, I won't be here.
All right, so January 25th is still the one. And it's your turn.
All right.
All right, anything
else
from
Bruce?
You?
No, I'm just wondering, are there any other, do we have any
agenda items?
Other agenda items. I know there's going to be...
Status report, I'm sure.
Well, you know what? We'll bring back whatever information we have, certainly, at that meeting. And, you know, I think normal business in the secondary, and we'll see what happens with the permit process as we go through the first part of the new year.
Okay. Anything else from you?
Meeting.
All right. Then I do believe we are adjourned.
All right. We are adjourned.